online by calling 929-205-6099. The number again, 929-205-6099. And enter this meeting ID, 922-457-2995. The meeting ID again, 922-457-2995. And the password is 995-995-99. We hope you can join us.
WBAI New York at 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. It's 10 a.m. and coming up next is Ecologic with Ken Gale, Sally Gellert, and Donna Stein. Please stay tuned.
A parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? It paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on promoting the earth, telling where we gonna plant our seeds.
See a windmill go, feel the pull of an ocean wave, the heat from a volcano. There's so much we could do, there's so much we could know, if we listen to the earth.
Welcome. Glad you could join us for Ecologic. Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. And this is Ecologic for Wednesday, November 29th, 2023.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Our guest this week is Ellis Roberts from the New York State of Pine. But first, we have information on the Earth Start Prize and a Jamaica Bay Task Force meeting.
Last week, we mentioned restoration of coral reefs. While researching, we found that a project reclaiming reefs was the 2021 Earth Start Prize winner in the Revive Our Oceans category. Since winning, Coral Vita has invested their prize money into financing their first major restoration off the coast of Grand Bahama, where they have so far planted more than 6,000 coral reef fragments. The fragments go up to 50 times faster than a mature reef and improve the reef's resilience when experiencing the effects of climate change.
Prince William of the United Kingdom, founder of the Earthshot Prize, says, "The Earth is at a tipping point. We face a stark choice. Either we continue as we are and irreparably damage our planet, or we remember our unique power as humans and our continued ability to lead, innovate, and problem solve. People can achieve great things. The next 10 years present us with one of our greatest tests, a decade of action to repair the Earth." The Earthshot Prize was started in 2020. They have five winners each year, one each in the categories Protect and Restore Nature, Clean Our Revive Our Oceans, Build a Waste-Free World, and Fix Our Climate. The Earthshot Prize was launched to search for and scale up the most innovative solutions to the world's greatest environmental challenges, inspired by President John F. Kennedy's Moonshot Challenge in 1962 to land a man on the moon within that decade. Each year, five winners are awarded £1 million each to scale up their solutions, and 15 finalists receive tailored support from our global alliance of partners.
Jamaica Bay and the Jamaica Bay National Wildlife Refuge is a very important, productive ecosystem for birds, marine terrapins, and turtles, fish, and shellfish. The Wildlife Refuge, one of only a few in urban areas, is located in Queens. Tomorrow evening, November 30th, the Jamaica Bay Task Force is holding a meeting hosted by the American Littoral Society and the Jamaica Bay EcoWatchers. It is a Zoom meeting, so no registration is required, but there is a passcode. Co-host Dan Mundy and Don Reapy say a show of support from a large audience of birders and environmentalists will not go unnoticed by the federal, state, and city land managers and local elected officials who will be on the Jamaica Bay Task Force call on November 30th. Email us to our site, eagleradio.org, to get the details and show your love for wildlife.
An email from NYPER got us thinking about alternatives to the commercial aspect of the holidays and realizing that there are many ways to share the joy. Gifts of times, of pre-owned, or dare we say used, items, repairing a favorite item from a friend or relative, sharing a service or item that you don't use much, or upcycling things that you own into something special for a loved one. And what about baking favorite cookies or other treats?
And now we welcome our guest from the New York State of Pine, Ellis Roberts. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Ellis Roberts. I'm with New York State of Pine Christmas Tree Workers Cooperative. We're in our fifth year, and we operate in Brooklyn and Manhattan and deliver throughout the five boroughs.
Okay, so tell us some more. We really are very interested in workers' co-ops, and that's what probably intrigued us the most about what you're doing. Our first show way back in 2002 was on worker co-ops. Tell us how that business model works for New York State of Pine.
Well, in order to do that, I should probably give a bit of personal history about how I got into it. And how I got into it was, we all remember that weird camping trip we had on Wall Street about 12 years ago. I came to the city for a three-day stay from Allentown, Pennsylvania for that. And it's 12 years later, and I'm still here. And I was living at the park in a really nice tent, and then the police came and evicted us, so I needed a job. So I answered a Craigslist ad, which was one of the bigger Christmas tree companies, and was told I'd work on tips, bonuses, a small rate, but all paid at the end after 35 straight 14-hour days. So at the end, got there, I got the pay, and calculated by the hour, I think it was like $3.25, but I saw that there was a relatively good rate of profit coming in. And I decided, well, no guy in a heated room should be reaping the lion's share of profit, because this is a very hard job. It's very cold, and it's very, very, you know, mentally straining, because you got to be on top of things, as well as physically straining. So I decided that democratically, you know, we could cut the fat of the boss and run this ourselves by vote, by democracy and consensus decision-making, and by democratic centralism, carrying out the decisions of the group, whether we personally have like a disagreement, as long as the majority goes with it. And then, of course, re-summation and then re-voting on all policies. In this way, I feel that we're able to give the farmers a better rate for their trees wholesale, provide trees a little less expensive than most of the people who have a boss to pay, and pay ourselves better.
So when you say 12 years ago, you're talking about Occupy Wall Street, aren't you?
I am.
So how exactly did Occupy Wall Street sort of create the Ellis Roberts that exists now?
Oh, I mean, I've been a communist since I was 14 years old, and I came to Occupy maybe 24, but Occupy taught me a lot. I mean, I learned a lot from people, and I learned a lot about movements. I learned about, you know, the good and the bad, you know, what we were able to accomplish with massive numbers by occupying the space. I mean, I also have the criticisms, you know. I think there was a lot of political naivete, you know, that went on in the general eclectic politics of the situation. But for the most part, you know, it was a good struggle. It redefined the conversation. It redefined the American vocabulary. It used to be almost like a cuss word to talk about class around the dinner table, and now it's on the tip of everyone's tongues.
And it seems like it's almost a natural to go from Occupy Wall Street to worker co-ops.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's just natural, not even from a, you know, academic political standpoint, but I've been a communist all my life, but I've also been a worker, and I've worked on trash trucks. I've worked in factories. I've worked at Labor Ready. And I saw that the people who do the hard work do not benefit from the majority of the profits. The entirety of my life, I've seen that. And I've worked on lines with guys that work the hardest of anybody I've seen, and they still struggle to pay the rent. Whereas the guys that sit, they tend to reap the lion's share of the profits. And in terms of who's doing what, I think one's more necessary than the other.
That's an interesting way of putting it, yeah. Yeah, the guy in the heated room gets nothing if he doesn't have people outside.
Absolutely. These trees don't sell themselves. When I was on a trash truck, without me, they would have just stayed on the curb. And, you know, in the steel fitting factory, you know, they all have to be polished, and I've never seen a boss polish a steel fitting.
So what's it like doing all this yourself compared to what everything else is doing? I mean, you must be outnumbered by the commercial Christmas tree operations.
Yeah, in Manhattan, there are five major companies, and they own a lot of stands, and they sell a lot of trees. But that being said, there are advantages to the way we do things. We're leaner, meaner. We can set up at a moment's notice. People are always willing to join our worker co-op because of the conditions we provide. And so labor is unlimited because we're not paying people $16 an hour like these guys do at best, you know, at best. And we're giving people a voice in the company. And when it comes to trees, there's usually a shack on the street, right, where you can hide in when it gets extremely cold. And the guys that are being paid a wage, they hide in that all day, and I don't blame them. But they don't sell a lot of trees doing that because they're not out saying hi to the folks, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't blame them for doing that because they make the same wage no matter what they do. That's what I would do when I was working for others. It's cold out. Sure. But when you're working for yourself, you know, you have a stake in it. You're excited about it, and you get to know your customers, and, you know, you provide a better service because you feel like you own part of it, which you do.
In this case, you know, they say profit is a motivator, but in this case, profit is a self-motivator. The financial gain is given to the individual, and yeah.
Absolutely.
And you say you know your customers. You're on the same site from year to year?
Yeah, I've been on this particular site for 5 years. And before that, I worked over in the same neighborhood for someone else for 3 years. So I've seen a lot of, you know, some of the teenagers I saw back in the day have kids of their own now.
Well, that's cool. Yeah.
Do they know you as well?
They do. They do. A lot of people know my name. All the dogs know me because I give out dog treats. It's kind of amazing. Like a year later, a dog will come up and bump me and anticipate a treat. And it's like, that's a better memory than I have.
Well, they say dogs are great judges of character.
I hope so, because they like me.
So where do you get your trees?
But it's the treat. What's that?
Where do you get your trees?
We take a road trip from Nova Scotia to North Carolina, and we pick the best ones. And this happens very, very early in the year. Everybody thinks that this is a December business. It's not really a December business. It's an all-year business. In March, we're making our calls to all the farmers we know and some farmers we don't know. And we're seeing what inventory they have. And then we're going to see, because there's three grades of Christmas trees. Everybody wonders, why the Home Depot tree is $60 and the tree on the street is $125 for the same thing. And it's because trees come in three grades premium, which means no flaws, straight trunk, and straight crown. Grade one, which is up to a single flaw, and grade two, which has multiple flaws and could have a cut-off crown or a trunk that's hard to fit in the base. They're usually used for wreaths, but people sell all types for different price points. And there's also types of trees. Fraser.
What's a flaw?
A flaw is like a hole where you can see the trunk, broken branch. In terms of farm trees, they're sheared, so they want to have them really high density without any gaps in them. And that's what consumers consider the perfect Christmas tree, at least the connoisseur, the picky consumer. You know, I like a tree with a little bit of a flaw. I took one that a deer had rubbed with its antlers, and that was my tree last year. Because a little bit of nature, that's kind of cool. Reminds me of Pennsylvania. But there's also different types of trees. There's balsam fir, there's Fraser fir, and they all grow in different climates. So in terms of, like, going to pick them, we go and we tag them, and then we pay for them in middle summer. And we get them on a truck about 2 weeks ago. You know, we get the first shipment. And the secret with Christmas trees is Christmas tree guy can tell you, yeah, this was cut yesterday. What he means is it arrived on a truck yesterday. And the areas where they're cut, they're all cut right before Thanksgiving because they're cut in generally snowy areas. And once you have 6 feet of snow in the field, it's impossible to get past.
Yeah. Out.
So they're baled up. And when they're baled up, they don't get air on the needles so they stay fresh. So when you're buying a tree, you want to buy one that the salesperson freshly unveils for you, because that's when the clock starts.
I know that a lot of people are concerned with the wildfires in Canada. How has that affected your business and the business as a whole?
Well, this year, the majority of our trees came from North Carolina, and part of that is because it did drive prices up for northern trees. That being said, I like North Carolina Frasers better in terms of aesthetics, but that's me. We went to a tree auction in Mifflinburg, Pennsylvania, a couple weeks ago, and it's the largest Christmas tree auction in the world. They sold about 70,000 Christmas trees during the course of the day in lots of 50 or 60 generally, and it was pretty crazy. We bought ours early before the fires, so we got a good rate, you know, and we didn't raise prices significantly, a little bit because freight went up, about $10 a tree. But at the same time, at the Mifflinburg auction, there were New York and Baltimore and D.C. and Philly and even a Louisiana vendor who were buying up during the early portion of the day lots of 60 of these trees at the prices we sell them retail. So I guess industry-wide it has affected things. We didn't see much of a difference because we buy so early. But if you were late to the game this year, wholesale prices were pretty high, reflecting the Nova Scotian wildfires, I believe.
Will the fire affect future sales?
I'm hoping that we can keep the prices where they are at by sourcing southern trees, but, you know, everything affects, like, everything else, you know, in terms of economics. And it could drive prices up more, but at the same time, I mean, I think the farmers are reaping a pretty good profit where they're at. So we'll see in future years. But we have pretty good relationships with the farmers. And besides freight, they try to keep them around the same price when we're buying so many from them because, I mean, it's easier for them to load whole trucks than to send half trucks different places or quarter trucks.
Yeah.
And then that's a whole.
Go ahead, Ken.
I would think that the fires, we're going to have them every summer for a while until the global warming part of climate change stops. And that's not likely to happen soon. So I would think Christmas tree prices are going to go up every single year and until climate change stops.
Yeah, I mean, I don't believe that there is any end in sight for some of the conditions that are ravaging a lot of the areas of the earth right now. I mean, unless the working class were to take power and put some sanity to economic policy. But in the near future, I believe you're right. There are going to be wildfires. It might drive Christmas tree prices up. Another issue is just there's not many young people farming, you know? A lot of people have moved to other things, and when I meet the farmers, they're generally sixth-generation farmers, but their kids are off doing something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what does that mean?
It means less, you know, less available. That being said, I mean, we're hoping to go to the point where we have our own farm, and that becomes our supply.
Oh, that'll be nice.
That way we can practice the most sustainable practices in farming.
Yeah, a workers' co-op farm would be a wonderful idea, and that might encourage more young people coming into farming.
Absolutely.
That might be the only way to encourage more people coming into farming.
Absolutely, and we can also provide food to, you know, revolutionary programs in the cities that are doing, like, you know, Panther-style free breakfast programs, Panther-style feed the people programs, because we believe in that. We don't think that's, like, you know, simple reformism. We believe that we got to walk before we can crawl, and a lot of people need a meal before they can talk about complex political subjects.
Sure.
I never thought about this before. But you bring up a something that I've known but didn't know I knew. A lot of Occupy Wall Street people went into farming. Mm. They went into farming on Long Island. They went into farming upstate New York.
South Jersey?
Yeah. So clearly the whole attitude of worker co-ops and doing your own thing has permeated a lot of aspects of society. And your Christmas trees are just maybe the most visible right now, but there's something going on in society since 2011.
During COVID, one of the Occupy folks started the co-op garden co-op, you know, sharing seeds and with people with land and land with for people with seeds.
And where is that?
Well, it's, you know, on the internet, coopgardens.com or .org. I'm not sure.
That's the one in Tennessee? National,
yeah. Back to trees.
So, Ellis, we were talking a few days ago about other things. You do your trees, but there's plenty of other ideas that you come across and you talk about that are good for alternative gifts or ways to celebrate for the holidays. We talked about that, making that pillow of pine needles. I mean,
absolutely.
That was good.
You can make a pillow of, and that was something. Y'all were hipping me to a pine needle pillow for under your pillow so it smells like the forest. You can do homemade wreaths. We always at our stands have brush that, you know, some people will sell it, but we give it away because we get a lot of it cutting off the bottom of the trees for the bases to make your own wreath. That kind of gets the transport cost environmentally down. Instead of having a bunch of wreaths shipped here, we make them out of the bottoms of the trees a lot of the times, and So can other folks, and that's always free. You can use, you know, the comic section to wrap your gifts rather than buying expensive gift wrap that burns fossil fuels. You can upcycle stuff. That being said, like all these things, you know, we can take little actions as people, you know, as working class people, to reduce our footprint. But at the same time, I'm reading that the top 10%. Pollute 40% of greenhouse emissions. Unless we do something about that, I mean, our plastic, our cardboard straws and our coffee that disintegrate are merely, I think, rich people's propaganda to make us feel guilty about the climate crisis when it's actually a very insidious economic plan, not even plan, just the inertia of capitalism that sells everything. Put the price on everything. And as long as there's a price on everything, everything can be bought, including the Amazon rainforest, including the air and the water. So until we do something about, you know, an economic revolution where we can put a saner policy in order that doesn't sell out the earth, You know, I think that these things are good. They can make us feel better, but I don't think overall they're going to stop, you know, the impending climate crisis.
It's good to kind of feel like you're living your values, but at the same time, you need the big policy changes to get a real effect. So it's a both and.
And the top 1% emit 68 times greater than everyone else. You know.
Well, excuse us, Ellis, just a moment. We need to take a short break. You're listening to Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show, right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Donna Stein.
I'm Sally Gillert.
And I'm Ken Gale. Ecologic covers every environmental issue. We help educate and activate our listeners. This makes your donation to us a one-stop donating. It's like supporting many groups all at the same time. Your donations help us help many kinds of groups get the word out about their activities. With a donation of $35 or more, you can choose a gift from our premium selections. Go to give2wbai.org and search for Eco-Logic.
There is no other station like WBAI. You know this. We have longer, more in-depth interviews than almost all mainstream programs, like the one you're hearing now. We are free speech radio. We don't bend to corporate advertisers at BAI or at other Pacifica stations, as our funds come from listeners like you.
We often hear from people who used to listen to BAI, usually about how they've rediscovered us and appreciate our independence and the news, information, and entertainment that is so different from corporate media. We have such a great history and a great future. Help ensure that when you tune in next, we're here for you. Please support us with a donation today to let us know that you're listening. No amount is too small or too big. You can contribute by mail or call 212-209-2950 or go to give2wbai.org.
Two friends of mine, Silver Age comic book artist Gene Colan and his wife Adrian, moved to Central Florida when they semi-retired. They missed WBAI so much, it was a major reason they moved back to Brooklyn. She said she had no idea how much they'd missed the station until they didn't have it anymore. There is a specialness to WBAI that goes beyond the shows themselves.
You don't know what you've got till it's gone.
When you choose to become our Ecologic BAI buddy, you are giving us a reliable source of support that we can depend upon, just as you can depend on WBAI. We're here for you all the time, but if you can afford to join us as a sustaining BI buddy, we'll really appreciate you all. And if you'll be helping us to keep broadcasting, not only for those who can afford to support us, but everyone in our listening area and beyond, thanks to the internet. Your dollars enable people to listen wherever they are, from people driving on the Jersey Turnpike to security guards in Australia. Yeah, we do have them. To people away from home who want to hear a familiar voice.
If you can donate just $5 or $10 or $15 a month, 10 minimum, please, you're sponsoring not only 4 Ecologic programs, but also more than 700 hours of programming each month. How much time do you spend listening to WBAI each month? Do you listen every day, several times a week, to your favorite shows? We're grateful that you choose to spend your time with BAI. If you listen just an hour a day, that's only 50 cents a program. Where else can you find that much value? Lots of EIPM, that's environmental information per minute, and per dollar. You decide on an amount that's right for you to donate each month and join us as a sustaining member, an Ecologic BAI buddy. Go to give2wbai.org or call 212-209-2950.
Becoming a BAI buddy is convenient and budget-friendly. Just a few dollars each month makes you a sustaining member and our buddy. Renewals are automatic, but you can change your donation amount whenever you like. Call 212-209-2950 and say you want to be a BAI buddy for any amount in the name of Ecologic or all BAI shows. Just a few minutes of your time lets us know that you value independent, progressive news, information, and entertainment.
You'll be proud to be doing your part to keep BAI on the air, serving our communities. You can also visit WBAI.org and click the green BAI Buddy sign with the peace of and sign up through our safe, friendly portal. With thanks from us at Ecologic and WBAI.
If you want, you can send a check or money order for your membership and or premiums. Mail to WBAI Radio, Attention Membership, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. That's 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, 11217.
We'll be taking about three call-ins later in the show. Think about your question now so that you can be quick. And if we run out of time, email us to our website, ecoradio.org.
And this is a song I consider a combination Christmas and Hanukkah song at the same time. Hugh Blumenfeld singing Long-Haired Radical Socialist Jew.
Sing out praises to that long-haired radical socialist Jew. Oh, when Jesus taught the people he would never charge to his ability. He just took some fishes and some bread and served up preschool lunches instead. So let's all sing out praises to
was Hugh Blumenfeld singing Long-Haired Radical Socialist Jew from his album Rocket Science. You're listening to Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Donna Stein.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Ken Gale. We're back with Ellis Roberts.
Ellis, if I bring home a tree, for Christmas. How do I keep it healthy during the holidays?
Well, the main thing
What's the
is
best start?
The best thing to do first, when you're buying the tree, you want to grab a branch and you want to close your hand on it and pull outward. And if the needles come out, then it's too far gone. Lots
Find another tree.
One or two. But the next thing is to make sure it gets a fresh cut on the bottom couple inches come off. Box stores won't generally do that for you, so if you get a box store one, cut it yourself when you get home. Bring it to me, I'll cut it. And then you put it in your base with water, and you fill your water 3/4 up the first night, and they're going to drink a lot, but they drink irregularly. So they'll drink a lot one night and then not drink for a while. They drink through the outside ring of the bark. So you want to check 24 hours later, refill, and then check every 3 days after that. Some people say you can put a tablespoon of sugar in the water, or Sprite, or all types of things. It's fiercely debated amongst arborists whether it, like, works or if it's an old wives' tale. I'm an agnostic on the situation. It couldn't hurt at all, so you can do that. But generally, if you really want a long-lasting tree, on the East Coast, you're going to want a Fraser fir. On the West Coast, you're going to want a noble fir. That being said, keep it away from a heat source. You can spritz it with water once in a while, but it's not absolutely necessary. But picking a fresh tree that just came out of the baling or is still in the baling and shown off to you by your tree salesperson is usually the best way. And high-density trees do better, premium grade and grade one, do better in the baling because they have less gaps. So they get affected by that there.
Interesting. Thanks.
Well, I'm sure that talking about heat source and whatever, I'm sure that the lights have so improved, environmentally speaking, over the years with the LED lights over the old-fashioned little tiny light bulbs.
It's pretty amazing how efficient they are, and what's driving that is actually the cannabis industry is driving innovation in LED lights. So,
How come?
Because LED light, they used to use high-pressure sodium and stuff like that. Now they're using LEDs as grow lights, and they're getting more and more efficient because there's money in it, and capitalism goes like a magnet to iron filings, as Mark said, to where the rate of profit is highest.
Is it bad for cats to drink tree water?
Certain species of trees, possibly. So I'm not entirely sure which. Cats will generally eat your balsam needles, but it won't affect them. You know, sometimes they'll throw up, but they, you know, cats do that. My cat loves my Fraser fir tree and climbs up in it all the time. Generally, if you get trees from a heavily pesticided farm, I wouldn't allow my cat near it. But I mean, I baby my cat.
Well, that makes way too much sense. Our next door neighbor has a cat that likes to climb in the tree, and as a result, the tree ends up on the ground, on the floor.
Yeah. Always want to get a base a little bigger than the recommended size if you have pets.
Yeah.
Now, we'd like to suggest some decorations for your trees that are ecologically friendly. People make the old-fashioned way of making wreaths and making decorations with a tree are more viable today than ever. You can string up cranberries, dry cranberries, fresh cranberries.
Fresh cranberries.
Yeah.
Dried ones wouldn't look so good.
Yeah, really. You can string up popcorn. So you should even maybe have a couple of those samples in your on your trees, Ellis.
Yeah.
That might nice decoration.
I love the vintage style. What I do is I take all my protest buttons and I put them all around my tree, and I have a protest tree.
What a great idea!
Star on the top.
Send us a picture of that. We'll put it on the website.
I will. So I celebrate Christmas 1 week after
Yeah, need a little recovery time there.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you get a lot of late people, you know, like Christmas Eve, a couple of days before Christmas? Does it get crowded with the...
It does. Or is it... I mean, our most crowded weekends are this coming weekend and the next coming weekend. It's like absolute bedlam. But, like, folks that want to bargain, I mean, if we have trees left towards the last couple of days, yeah, I mean... And we also do a tree giveaway every year at the end for folks that need it. And we don't consider it an act of charity. We consider it an act of worker solidarity because we're all in class.
Go into detail about that. What do you mean?
Well, at the end, we'll generally have some trees. And we probably could sell them wholesale to someone else, you know, to sell the last week. Generally, you know, 50 to 100. And instead of doing that, generally alert people and through the neighborhood groups. And if people have had a tough year, if they can't quite afford a tree this year, then we do a tree giveaway. And they use the code worker solidarity during the last 5 days. And if we have items left, we'll give them to them. And we'll pick the best one on the lot. We're not, using the trees with a hole or something like that. The working class deserves the best. Whatever tree on the lot they want, and it's theirs, you know. And it's an act of solidarity, not charity, because we've been there, and that's actually the code they use, worker solidarity.
That's very interesting. I'm trying to think of other environmental ways of celebrating these holidays. Of course, LED lights have been a wonderful way to do it whether people realize it or not. Because an LED light makes more light than heat, whereas the old style bulbs made more heat than light. So I guess that's good for your tree too.
Sure.
Maybe our listeners will have some suggestions. We invite you all to call in with your comments and questions. The call in number is 212-209-2877. Now's your time to call 212-209-2877. Call with a question for Ellis about the Works Co-op or the Christmas trees, and with any suggestions that you might have.
While we're waiting for your calls.
Oh, well, wait a minute. We have a call now.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Finish that item, Sally. Yeah.
Okay. NYCforfree.co lists free events for you. Here's one. Well, actually, just let's take the call. NYCforfree.co for free events. Hello, caller.
Good morning.
You're on the air.
My name is Rose. Good morning. My name is Rose. I live in Flemington, New Jersey. And I want to ask your guest if he does any dug trees. Now, our family tradition has been to get a tree and then keep it in the house for a while. And then we put it out in the lawn and let it grow. And in the city, I'm sure there are either small parks or churches or, you know, other places, you might donate that tree alive and make an event of planting it in the ground. I, as an old person, I only get some cut boughs now and keep them in a big vase on the table.
Huh.
Smells good. Don't need trees. You know, I mean, it just seems that wasteful to chop it down and then chip it and drag it out to the beach and this and that when we can plant them.
Yes, so I am very intrigued by the idea of potted and live trees, and I raise a bunch. The problem with Fraser fir and putting them in the park or something is they're not native. And when you put non-native things in the ecosystem, you can do more damage than good. I think we need to plant native trees. These trees are not from the forest. These trees are farmed. And just like a head of lettuce, they get cut down to be consumed. It's relatively sustainable because they stay out there for 7 to 20 years, decarbonizing, providing cover for animals. They're lightly pesticided, if at all. They don't take much irrigation or water in the areas they grow, and they're replanted immediately. The knee-jerk reaction is to be like, oh, why would you cut down that many trees? But the trees that need to be saved are the native trees. The trees that need to be saved are the Atlanta forests, where they're going to build a death training facility to train the rich man's army, the police, you know. And I'm very much into planting native trees in this area. Fraser fir are native to some small pockets of North Carolina, West Virginia, and Tennessee, and they do well there, Clingman's Dome and all that, and that's where those should be. Our native trees, they don't do so well as Christmas trees. Spruce, I grow a few of those in my yard. Even pawpaw is a native tree moving off of Christmas trees, and we should plant those on the street so they can provide fruit to people.
And we do have another call. We're running close on time, so why don't we take another call right now? Caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. This is Nick from Brooklyn, and I'm enjoying your show. If I wanted to buy a tree from Mr. Ellis's co-op, where is his business? Where could I buy a tree?
I'm glad to ask.
If you want to see me personally, you can come to St. John's in Underhill in Brooklyn. And or you can go to my comrade Troy at 86th in Amsterdam. Mention you're a listener of the show, and he'll take care of you over there. And then nystateofpine.com, which is our website, and that's for delivery. Stand prices are a little less expensive because it doesn't reflect the delivery cost. But it's up to you. I mean, come and say hi. We'd love to see you.
Repeat those addresses again.
We're at St. John's in Underhill at the Underhill Walls in Prospect Heights. And we're at 86th and Amsterdam Avenue in Manhattan. We also, if you're near Williamsburg, we have an affiliate called All Christmas, All Brooklyn, ACAB, and our friend Elijah's over there.
Thank you.
And
I'll see you on Underhill.
Bedford and Metropolitan.
Yeah, well, we just got you a customer, so. Callers, please let us know what suggestions you do to make an ecological Christmas. We love hearing from our listeners, but not right now.
All right, then I'll mention that free event. Winter Glow in the Flatiron and Nomad Neighborhood has free public pop-up programming, starting with a parade tonight and closing with a winter solstice celebration on December 21st at the National Museum of Mathematics on 26th Street. Didn't know we had a Museum of Mathematics, but it sounds like fun.
I think my friend Talbot would love that.
So December 21st, National Museum of Mathematics, 26th Street. NYCforFree.co. It's interesting that I used to get almost no emails about an ecological Christmas, and every year I seem to get a few more, and their suggestions are getting longer. So people are really combining that kind of information, and another little sort of thing that's going on in the ether.
It's so nice to get away from the commercialism. It's like the people's suggestions, the general suggestions are always where you can buy something, or where sales are, or how you can spend your money. It's like, wait a minute. And then you throw it away. I'd rather have a wreath of popcorn that I can put out there for the birds to eat at the end of the season.
Yeah, I think it bears repeating what Nyberg said. Different kinds of way of giving gifts of your time, pre-owned, used items, repairing a favorite item for someone, sharing a service or an item that you don't use as much, share it, upcycling things, and of course baking and cooking for people. All ways that you don't have to wrap things, buy things, put things in the garbage.
Right. And no packaging. The bane of our existence.
Ken's Mercy is wonderful with that. We just love Mercy's cooking. Mercy's baking. Send me some cookies.
Yeah, it's the favorite gifts of that a lot of people get.
So we're coming close to the end of our show. Tell us more about what you feel we can do to help the earth, not the earth. My our co-conspirator Tim lets us know that we don't. It's never the Earth. It's Earth.
Yeah, we don't say the Mars or the Saturn.
There's not more than one, right?
Right.
I think the short answer, I mean, very simply, and it's going to sound simplistic, is we need revolution. The only way to help the Earth is get rid of the megalomaniacs that are selling it out, you know?
Yeah.
And how we get to revolution? I mean, there's a plethora and a diversity of tactics, you know? Raise awareness as you guys are doing. Give people more free time and say in their economic opportunity as workers' co-ops do. Feed people like the New African Black Panther Party does in Newark. Protest like we did at Occupy. But in general, I mean, I think revolution doesn't happen unless we all get very serious about it, form a revolutionary party, and, you know, have some autonomy in our communities. That's the short answer. I mean, but once again, how we get there is very complex.
Yeah. I think it's I think it's a lot of people doing a lot of little things. That's what Pete Seeger used. Pete Seeger's famous for that thought is the world is going to be saved by people's participation. Everybody doing something. Everybody doing small things. Of course, that's a rough paraphrase of Pete's words, but
and also that what you just said, Alice, must blow some people's minds, because here you are, a businessman, and you're talking that way. So anybody who has a stereotype that somebody in business wouldn't even have those thoughts, guess what? Not true.
Reminds me of Patagonia's founder Ivan Chouinard saying, "I'm a reluctant businessman," and trying to play with the model as much as he could to get the best results for the Earth, for the people, rather than the maximizing the profit.
That's a good place to end. It's time to wrap up. So thank you all for joining us. For more information, go to NY State of Pine, New York State of Pine. com. We have information on a wide variety of environmental issues on our website, ecoradio.org. where you can find links to our previous shows on many environmental issues. Look over our website, ecoradio.org. If there is a show or news item for which you'd like a follow-up or a news report, there is a hyperlink near the top of the page, just under the promo meme, to email us. And please go to give2wbai.org, where you can become a BAI buddy or choose a premium.
Join us next Wednesday, December 6th at 10 a.m., for adventures in harvesting, hunting, fishing, and foraging with the authors of From Scratch. We love to stay in touch with you. So those of you online, please sign up for our email list while you're checking out our website, ecoradio.org. Those of you on Facebook, please like our page. We're at WBAI Ecologic, no dashes.
WBAI is community radio, and there are lots of ways to get involved. And, of course, we always need your donations. We need your contributions to support everything that makes a broadcast happen. The engineers, electricity, equipment upkeep, rent. Pledging as a BAI buddy now during this show really helps Ecologic especially.
We are always glad to have you with us for Ecologic, live or on the archives. This show will be on the WBAI archives in just 5 or 10 minutes.
Our thanks to our engineer, Michael G. Haskins. We couldn't do this without you. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. Join us next Wednesday, December 6th at 10 a.m. for From Scratch. I won't be able to join next week, but please keep Ken and Sally company. We're here every Wednesday at 10 a.m. between Covert Action Bulletin and Living for the City. Check our website for details. Thanks for being our listeners.
See the sun, how bright it shines on the nations of the earth. All who share this thing called life celebrate each day's rebirth.
So solar power, inexpensive energy. So
give me the warm power of the sun. This is Julian Assange. You're listening to WBAI New York. Stay strong and keep listening.
This is Richard Wolff coming to you from WBAI and from my program, Economic Update. Every week, I produce this program, and every week, all the people at WBAI bring it to you. I support them because they support me and this program. I'm willing and eager to ask your help, your support, financial at this time, to keep this station on the air so that programs like mine and the many other fine programs they offer are available in the greater New York area. Call us 212-209-2950 or go to WBAI.org, where there are many ways to donate. This is a chance for you to help preserve a vital resource for the United States at this time. And on behalf of everyone, my thanks.
Yo, this is Michael Franti from Spirit, and you're listening to non-commercial radio in New York. WBAI is a place to turn to.
Peace. Oh my God. Yeah, my mother got a sleeping suicide singing, oh my. Oh my God, you my mother got us living genocide singing. Oh my God, you my mother got us living suicide singing. Oh my God.
$0.33 a day. Not much, is it? Loose change. A third of a cup of coffee. It's nothing. But did you know that $0.33 a day can help WBAI stay on the air? That's all it takes. As little as $0.33 a day, $10 a month, you can be a BAI buddy. A BAI buddy is someone who signs up to make a recurring monthly donation to WBAI using either a credit card, debit card, or by electronic fund transfer from your bank account. It's safe, secure, and easy, and it helps keep our unique, alternative, and diverse programming on the air. You'll get a WBAI membership card and other goodies. Sign up online. Go to WBAI.org and click on donate. All the details are right there. The WBAI buddy. Be one today.
This is Ralph Pointer. Join me and others every Wednesday, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time on WBAI 99.5 on your radio dial. It would appear the human movement is such that at any moment in history, there are too few that understand possibilities of existence that would benefit all who inhabit this planet and are willing to act on this understanding. This program will feature that few. What are your views on these issues that impact your life today? What are your views